Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
Sin is a disease. It pollutes the soul and poisons the outer life. It creates in the heart a den of vile passions, and in the outer life a web of dark and shameful deeds. You no longer need to walk crippled and dying. You can be set free. Not only set free, but you can also be healed and made into a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can be made new by the blood of Jesus. Today, He is willing to give you a pure heart. Nothing but sin can separate us from Jesus. Luke 1:74 promises that He would grant unto us that we might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him, all the days of our life. Today, we want to share with you a letter by William Booth, written to his Salvation Army officers, titled, Purity Means Deliverance. In his letter, he shares how you can have a pure heart by the blood of Jesus. Now, William Booth's letter, Purity Means Deliverance.
What is a pure heart? A pure heart is a heart that has been cleansed by the Holy Spirit from all sin and enabled to please God in all it does, to love Him with all its powers and its neighbor as itself. Where this experience is enjoyed by anyone, it may be said that God has made the heart pure, even as He is pure. But here I may be asked the question, does not God bestow this wonderful deliverance from sin on the soul at conversion? Does He not sanctify and make it good and holy at the same time that He pardons its sins? No. Although a great work is done for the soul at conversion, its deliverance from sin at that time is not complete. It is true that He does a great deal for a man when He makes that remarkable change. He destroys the bondage in which sin holds the transgressor. But the destruction of sin out of the heart and out of the life is not entirely finished. Here, let me try and show you the difference in the purification that comes to a man when he is fully cleansed. I will do this by setting forth the three different stages into which the soul can come with respect to sin. First, before a man or woman is converted, some particular sin is the master of the soul. That is, some unlawful appetite or selfish passion always rules the individual and makes him act as it dictates. What do I mean by sin being the master? I answer that the unconverted soul is held by it in a bondage from which it cannot get away. It has no choice. It is under its power. It must sin. The soul may have light to see its evil and ruinous character. It may hate it, struggle against it, make resolutions never to do it again. But it is driven by its own nature to do the things that it does not want to do, and is prevented from doing the things that it wishes to do. Often, as the apostle describes, crying out in bitterness of spirit as it struggles and fights with it. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this wretched condition of slavery that is worse than death? This is the experience of every unsaved man and woman, at least of everyone who has light to see what an evil thing sin is. It is true that the character of mastering sin will differ with different persons. In some people, the governing evil may be something that is looked upon by the world as vulgar, such as drunkenness or lust or dishonesty or gambling or some other passion that has gotten a hold of the sinner and from which he cannot get away, and for which every precious thing on earth and in heaven is sacrificed. In other cases, it may be some sin that is not so much despised by what is called the respectable part of the community, such as pride, ambition, selfishness, secret infidelity, or the like. But in some form or other, sin rules in the heart of every ungodly man or woman. They are mastered by sin. Now let us look at the second state into which a man can come with respect to sin. When he is saved, not only does he receive the pardon of sin, but deliverance from its bondage. The yoke is broken, the fetters are snapped, the prison doors are opened, he is free. Instead of sin being his master, he is the master of sin. Instead of drink or temper or money worship or worldly pleasure or some other devilish thing driving him down the broad way to destruction against his judgment, against his own wishes, against the striving of the Spirit, he is made free to do the will of God and to climb the narrow path to heaven. But great and glorious as is the change wrought in the heart at conversion, deliverance is not complete. The power of sin is broken, but there are still certain evil tendencies left in the soul. There are what the apostle terms the roots of bitterness. These evils ordinarily grow and increase in power, involving the soul in constant conflict, and as the time goes by, often gain the mastery, and as the result, there is much sinning and repenting. Then comes the third state. Tired of this conflict, hating these internal evils, weeping over the pride and malice and envy and selfishness that the soul still finds within, it rises up and cries out, "Tell me what to do to be pure in the sight of the all-seeing eyes. Tell me, is there no thorough cure, no escape from the sins I despise? Tell me, can I never be free from this terrible bondage within? Is there no deliverance for me? Must I always have sin dwell within?" To this question, God sends the glad answer back. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. All things are possible to him that believeth." Then the soul believes, the sanctifying spirit falls, and the third stage is reached, which is salvation from all sin. In the first stage, the soul is under sin. In the second stage, the soul is over sin. In the third stage, the soul is without sin. In which stage are you? Settle it for yourselves. Have you got a pure heart? Examine yourselves. What is your reply? Some of you, in describing your experience, can adopt the words of the apostle, with a little variation and say, "The very God of peace has sanctified me wholly, and he preserves my whole spirit and soul and body blameless, and he will continue to do so until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who has called me to this experience of purity, who also will do it. All glory to God. Be careful to walk in the light as he is in the light. Then shall you have fellowship with him and with other sanctified souls, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son shall keep you cleansed from all sin, in which case he will use you to promote his glory, make you useful, and show you still greater things. To those who know that they do not possess a pure heart, I put the question, will you have one now? God is willing to cleanse you. What is hindering you receiving now this purifying baptism? Now is the accepted time. Tell God that all the doubtful things shall be given up, and then go down before him, singing while you kneel. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees, and looks to that alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it now is done. Yours affectionately, William Booth.
John Wesley, William Seymour, Charles Finney, William Booth, and a host of other godly men and women of the past taught that Christians must have a pure heart to be found in Christ Jesus. This is not some strange or new doctrine. This teaching was also basic in the understanding of our forefathers who founded and formed the framework of America. But today, most of you have been taught the lie of cheap, easy grace, which is no grace at all, because it leaves you in your sin, while at the same time it's rocking you to sleep with the false assurance that you are saved, and now you think you have a free ticket to heaven. America must be converted again to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are living in sin, you must be converted and changed. You must gain by the power of the blood of Jesus a pure heart, a clean heart, one that is ready for that great judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that judgment day?
We must be ready for that great judgment day. I must be ready. I must be ready for that great judgment day. I must be found hidden in Jesus Christ with a pure heart, not hidden in the world. What are you hidden in? Some of you today are hidden in the television, in the movies, the concerts, the work. Some of you are hidden in the NASCAR races or the World Wrestling Federation or the hip-hop or money or some other foolish thing. Oh, you can't be hidden in the world and also be found in Jesus Christ with a pure heart. No, 1,000 times no.
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
Today we're urging you not to give up, not to settle back into your slumber, not to take for granted your salvation, but rather do that very difficult work of examining your heart under the power of the blood, the influence of the Holy Spirit, to see whether or not you have a pure heart. Are you clean before Jesus? Or are you walking in known sin today? Are you aware of the rebellion that's in your heart? Is pride ruling over you? Is hurt and bitterness and anger ruling over your heart? Are you clean before God today? Are you ready for that great judgment day? God cannot be mocked. We are going to reap what we sow. And I am pleading with you today to be converted, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to gain for yourself by faith in Jesus Christ full and complete sanctification. I am praying today that you will turn from all wickedness, all darkness, all worldliness, and be found hidden in Jesus Christ. Now, this scripture that we opened the broadcast with, found in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 38 and 39, I need to share with you again. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." As I read that passage of Scripture, I must stop and ask the question, who is the us that Paul is referring to? Many times, people who believe in the sinning Christian, who say that Christians can never stop sinning, who are always going to be caught in the bondage of sin, they use this passage as a defense to say, look, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Oh, but the Scriptures don't teach that. Sin separates us from Jesus. And so it's imperative that we understand who this us has reference to. And to understand that, let's look at the context. Always when you're studying the Scripture, examine the text and then look carefully at the context, all of those passages of Scripture that surround it, so that you understand what the author is truly trying to say. You can't proof text the doctrine of God and come up with a doctrine that's holy and clean and pure, not come up with a doctrine that's going to bring you into the heart of Jesus. And that's where I want to be. Before I share this, I need to just bluntly ask you, do you want to be found in the heart of Jesus? And do you want to be found clean by the blood in Jesus? That's my heart desire. And I pray that as I share this with you, your heart will be quickened and you'll understand this issue. And so let's examine carefully who the us is that Paul has reference to. Look with me at chapter 8, verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So we discover immediately that Paul is referring by us to those who are in Christ Jesus. "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." So the us that's being referred to are those who have been set free from the law of sin and death. If you have not been set free from the law of sin and death, Paul is not talking about you. Now, you may be a follower of Jesus. You may even call yourself a Christian. But if you are still in bondage under the law of sin and death, you are not included in this 8th chapter where Paul says, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons," where he says we cannot be separated from God, because those who are under the law of sin and death will be separated at the day of judgment from Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will be saved." He's going to speak to many and say, "Depart from me, you lawless ones, you workers of iniquity, you sinners. Oh, don't come to the judgment bar of the Almighty God with sin in your life and say, oh, but I thought Jesus' blood covered my sin and nobody could see it. I thought I was going to get into heaven with all of my wickedness." Well, please tell me, what would heaven be like if God brought all the sinners into heaven? No, he died on Calvary's tree, first to justify us, secondly to sanctify us, third to fill us with the power of his Holy Spirit, so that Christ dwells in us. So let's look again. Chapter 8, verse 1. "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Now, to understand that law of sin and death, we need to refer back even further. Let's review Romans 7, 4 through 6.
"So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
So in other words, if you're still walking in sin, you are under the law. You can say, I'm in Jesus Christ, but in truth, you are under the law. You see, truth is not established by what you think or by what I think. Truth is established by the word of the living God. You have to look at this honestly and cry out to the Lord, teach me, O God, don't let me be deceived. The deceiver has gone forth like a roaring lion, seeking those he could devour. And believe me, he will devour those who believe in cheap grace. Look with me now at the 14th verse. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. And then you go down to verse 24, and Paul says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is speaking about the historical present. He is saying, this is how I was before I met Jesus Christ. I could not conquer these inward sins. But now, through Jesus Christ, I am the conqueror. I'm now walking without this heavy burden of sin. So look with me now back in chapter 8, the last part of verse 3. And so he condemned sin and sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So if you're walking in sin, you're controlled by your sinful nature, and you can't please God walking in that sinful nature. That's why Paul teaches there must be, in chapter 6, an entering into death with Jesus Christ, being buried with Jesus. Jesus talks about this by saying, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. My brother and sister, it is time to get clean before God. It is time to have a pure heart. This pure heart only comes as we allow the blood of Jesus to break every bondage of sin. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Today, are you walking in sin? There is a provision for you to have an awesome cleansing by the blood of Jesus. The fountain is open for you. All that could prevent you from going to that fountain for total and complete cleansing is the arrogance of the wicked nature, the sin of the heart that we lust after. I beseech you today, turn to Jesus, lay aside your religion, and get a hold of Jesus, and he will give you a pure heart. Are you ready for that great judgment day? Oh, I want to be found worthy in that day to be in Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to be found worthy on that day to be in Jesus Christ, I must be in Jesus now. I must be hidden in Jesus. I can't be hidden in the things of the world. I can't be hidden in the things of the flesh. And many of you are struggling with this whole concept because you've always believed that you could be hidden in all the activities of the world and you could have Jesus too. And now you're hearing what the scriptures are saying, that you must lay aside the world. You're learning now that you can't walk in all of those things and walk in Jesus too. And I know some of you have great rebellion rising up in your hearts. And you're saying, this can't possibly be true, and you're angry. Some of you are saying to us, if it's true that I must live without sin, then it's impossible. I can't do it. I'm too weak. All of us are too weak. But we serve a Lord who is very strong. All power and authority has been given into the hands of Jesus Christ. If you're willing to stop hiding yourself in the world, and you're willing to begin to pick up your scriptures and begin to read the Bible, and I would urge you, read from Genesis to Revelation and read it through 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year. Just eat the Word. Now you recognize you can't do that and read all the magazines and watch all the television and be involved in all of the darkness. Something has to go. You only have so much time in a day. Oh, can you see? If you'll begin to read the scriptures, and you'll begin to pray, the Holy Spirit will bring His convicting power upon your life. He'll begin to turn you away from the things of darkness. He'll begin to speak with you and say, lay that doubtful habit aside. You don't need to touch that wicked thing anymore. And when you begin to, you'll find you have no taste for it. He's removed that darkness from your soul. The blood of Jesus comes from outside of us. We're not talking about hard humanistic labor. We're not talking about self-improvement. We're not talking about keeping a law. We're talking about coming into Jesus Christ, not into a religion, but into Jesus Christ Himself. And there in Jesus being filled to the fullness of Jesus Himself. And so as you go into that prayer closet, you sit before the Lord, or you lay on the carpet before the Lord. And you begin to talk with Him. You begin to cry out to Him. You begin to share those broken parts of your life. You begin to share your sin. You begin to share your lust for success, your desire for money. You just lay it all down before Him. And Jesus will come, and He'll carry you into His heart.
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and His holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience His joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.